start your day terror master, Yud Beis, yeah. Toshin Pei Dalet, Rabbi David Eisenberg.
Okay, Rabbi, say good morning. Nice to see you again. Nice to see some new faces as well. I'd like to talk today about a shaila, and I'll try to be honest with you. As we start, we're probably not going to get to the shaila. Speaking to a younger man this morning, and I said to him, I said, you know, sometimes you give a shir, you know, and you look up, you're like, well, I'm half an hour in, I've not even started yet. But, you know, sometimes that's how it goes. So the shaila we're going to discuss today comes with a lot of context that you need to understand before we get to the shaila. And if you don't understand the context until you get to the shaila, then oftentimes what's going to happen is you will never know how to pask in the shaila. Right? So sometimes you ask the shaila, it goes, oh, okay, well, what's the halacha? Well, let's break it down. There's this. Okay, now you have all the parts, now you can start putting it together. So therefore, what we're going to start today is, the shaila was like this. It happens many times. You open up your dishwasher, if you have one, and you are looking through the cutlery basket, and in the cutlery basket, somehow, either you or one of your kids put a fleishik spoon into your milky dishwasher, or a milky spoon into your fleishik dishwasher. I don't know how many dishwashers you have. I'm not getting involved in your family life. I'm just mentioning the case. Sometimes you have these things. You say, somebody found a fleishik spoon in a milky dishwasher. Yeah. Who has a milky dishwasher at home? Make believe there's a milky dishwasher. Move on. That's not the question. Right? So you have a milky dishwasher, and you open it up, and you look in the cutlery basket, and you find a fleishik spoon in your milky dishwasher. So we now need to understand what the halacha is. Can you use that spoon? Again, can you not use that spoon? Can you use all of the milky spoons that were inside the dishwasher? What does it do to your dishwasher? All these shaylos are going to be shaylos. So let's start at the beginning, or let's try to start at the beginning, and work our way through. Okay? So the first thing that you need to know over here is, when it comes to Basar B'Cholov is all about tam. It's all about taste. Because there's a very big chiddush in Basar B'Cholov, and let me try to explain what I mean. You have nevela. So that means you have an animal that wasn't shechted correctly. If you have an animal that wasn't shechted correctly, it is osur. Why? Because of chaticha de isura. It is something that's osur. It's non-kosher meat. And so the non-kosher meat is going to be osur in any form and any shape that you want to. Whereas, there's a big chiddush with basar b'cholov. Basar b'cholov, the chiddush of milk and meat is that you have meat which you bought with the best heksha. I'm not even going to open up my mouth about what the best heksha is or not, because you get shouted down. So imagine whenever you consider the best heksha in the world, imagine the meat has that best heksha. And you have milk, chol v'yisrael, sheva chol v'yisrael, you had only, you know, you have chassidish shechita, you had chassidish milking, okay? It was been milked by chassidim yirei shemayim, saying to him the entire time that they pulled at the cow's udders, okay? Milk is kosher as you get. Pardon? Should it be, I don't know. Pardon? Should we watch? You don't have to pull, right? Lemaisis, you have kosher v'yosher milk, you have kosher v'yosher meat. You can have these two things, a mehadrim and a mehadrin, and you mix the two of them together, and you get mehadrim and a mehadrin basar b'cholov. Yeah? It's almost a waste. You think to yourself, you're going to make basar b'cholov, you might as well not use the most expensive one. Sometimes we used to laugh that you didn't buy the most expensive things and they ruin it. You know, you buy the most expensive phone, you put tag on it, the phone doesn't work anymore. You buy the most expensive lift and cut shaver, and you ruin the lift and cut and the shaver. For that, if you're going to ruin the lift and cut and the shaver, go buy the cheap one in August. You have to buy the most expensive one. But people buy the expensive things, and then, oh, you made basar b'cholov. So you put the meat and the milk together now. It becomes also, because you mix together two things. Even though you have meat, which is heter, milk, which is heter, the Torah asserted the tam of the meat and the tam of the milk coming together, and that makes the isser. Okay? So we'll come back to that later. But that's the first point to make, that there's a very big difference between something that is what we call the chaticha di surah, it's osur, because it's osur on its own, versus something that's not osur because it's osur on its own, it's only osur because of the taste that has been put together over here. Right? So for example, I'll give you an example about this. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara about yesh begidim anoysen tam or ein begidim anoysen tam. Does a sinew actually give off any taste? What would be the difference? Let's say you had a gira nosha, which you're not allowed to eat, and it got mixed together with a bunch of meat, or you took a piece of meat that had the gira nosha in it, and you cooked it. So, does the meat become osa or not? So we say, it's irrelevant. It's actually irrelevant whether the gira nosha imparts taste into the meat or doesn't impart taste into the meat. Because even if it imparts zero taste into the meat, it's a chatichat isura. It's a piece that's osa. Pardon? No, Dover Yavashah is right. But Dover Lach, you know, Dover Yavashah didn't mix. Again, that, you know, okay, we spoke about that. And by Dover Yavashah, part of the reason Dover Yavashah you're okay with Rav is because the tastes never mix together. That's the whole point. But I'll give you an example. So let's go back to the case that you said. If you had one piece of Nevela chicken that was cooked in the same way as a whole bunch of pieces of regular chicken, and they're all on the same plate, so we say you're Bokal Barav. But let's say one piece of Nevela chicken got mixed in, you know, you got one of these ushi catering size things, and you put in 40 pieces of kosher chicken and one piece of trefa chicken. And you cook them all together, if you don't have shishim, it'll be also. Because now the taste is mixed together, so now it'll be also again. So it's all about the taste. Okay? That's number one. Next. So that's the first introduction. Number two as an introductory part is when we talk about fleishig kelim, we have to understand what are fleishig kelim and what are not fleishig kelim, or milchig kelim for the same price. Okay? So somebody says to you, I have a fleishig fork, I have a milchig fork, I have a fleishig pot, I have a milchig pot. What makes something fleishig and what makes something not fleishig? So coming back to what we said before, it's all about tam. It's all about taste. Taste is imparted in halacha when you cook something in a kli rishon in this utensil. So let's say, for example, you have a pot, brand new pot, and you fill that pot up with milk. And you boil up the milk in this pot. This pot has now become a milky pot. Why? Because the milk has imparted taste into this pot, making this pot milky from now on. Same is true if you have a frying pan and you make a schnitzel, it's a brand new frying pan, and you fry a schnitzel in it or you fry a steak in it. So again, here in the same case, you've cooked the meat in this pan. The meat has imparted taste into the pan, and therefore it was noisin tam, as we say, give taste into this pan. The pan now becomes milky or meaty, depending on what you put inside the pan. Okay? Important to note that we're talking about specifically kli rishon. Once you're talking about kli sheni already, there's different halachas. So let's say, for example, you had a pot that you heated up water in, and you took water from that pot and poured it directly into something else. Okay? So the second pot that you have it in now is a kli sheni, as we all know from Hilchos Shabbos, right? That's called kli sheni. If you now go and put in, let's say, they have fleishik soup powder, they have parva soup powder, they have fleishik soup powder. Some of the soup powder actually has meat in it as well. You took some fleishik soup powder and you put it into that pot, it's already questionable whether that pot becomes fleishik. Because now you have a pot that's only a kli sheni, and even though you put fleishiks into that pot, a kli sheni is not really mevashel. So therefore, in general, certainly, we would treat it as fleishik, but if you put something milchig in there, the halachas would be different, because we wouldn't call this having mamash a fleishik pot. So in order for something to be fleishik, or for something to be milchik, you need to have used it in a kli rishon, and cooked either fleishiks and milchiks in it. Okay? That's point number two. Now, let's go to the next thing. What happens if you cook milchik in a fleishik pot, or vice versa, fleishik in a milchik pot? So now already we have to start thinking about transfer of taste, but here we have to think in both directions. You have to think two-directional. Okay? So you have your milchik pot that you've heated up your milk in that we spoke about before. You took it out, you washed it out, it's clean. I'm talking about a clean pot now, I'm not even talking about with milk residue in it. You got a clean pot that an hour ago you heated up some milk in. and one of your kids didn't realize that you use that new part for milk to make yourself a coffee or to make yourself a hot chocolate, and they said, oh, brand new part, we've always needed another fleshic part, and they take the chicken soup that's left over from Shabbos, put it in, and boil up the chicken soup. You walk into the room, and you see their kid, and he's like, look, mommy, you bought a brand new pot. We've always needed a new pot for chicken soup. Here we go. I've heated up the chicken soup. You say, oy vey, I heated up. I made coffee in this. I made milk in this just before. So here, you have to decide, you have to look at the halacha as follows. Number one, there's going to be taste from the chicken soup, or whatever else that's fleshic, that's inside this pot. That's going to go where? Into the pot. But there's also going to be taste that's going to be imparted from the pot into the chicken soup. So there's always a double discussion over here. Whenever you have discussion of taruvas of this kind of mixture, but you have kalim and food, and you've put the wrong kind of food in the wrong kind of keli, and you call up a rav, the rav will have to paskin two things. Number one, what's the halacha with the food? Number two, what's the halacha with the pot? So in this instance, you have to say as follows. If the amount of milk that was absorbed in the pot is less than 60 times the amount of meat that you're cooking in the pot now, so let's say you heated up literally a spot of milk, and now you have a big pot and you put in a lot of chicken soup, so you can say the maximum amount of bleus that this pot has is 100 mils of milk, let's say. But I've just put in 10 liters of soup in there. It can't have more than 100 mils worth of bleus because that's all the milk that went in it. So then the chicken soup would be okay. If you didn't have 60 in the pot, 60 times the amount of food in the pot can negate what the bleus were, then you say it's also. Certainly if you don't know how many bleus there are, we just assume the whole pot will be milky. You don't know how often you've used it and when it's used and how much milk is in it. So in general, the food's going to be problematic. In general, that's what it is. Very rarely do you have a food, the Shulchan Aruch writes, one of the Mefarshim, can't remember, but writes that to have a food that's 60 times the volume of the size of the pot is very, very rare. So when we were in Kaila, we sat down, we started making all sorts of cheshbonos, how thick the pot would need to be. You'd need one of these, like, really catering-sized pots to be able to even consider that. Okay, if you had a 70, 80, 100-liter pot, possibly you could say that you have 60 times the volume inside of the volume of the metal and everything on the outside. Okay, but in general, that wouldn't apply.
If it's a milky pot, presumably every time you heat up some milk,
mm-hmm. Yes.
That adds to the 60, that adds to... the quantity of...
Yeah, but we'll have to come back also to something else, which is going to be the Eina Ben Yoimai. That means how often have you heated up this milk in the last 24 hours? Okay, we're coming back to soon. But that's the one cheshbon. So the one cheshbon is, how much is the pot imparting taste into the food that you have? The other cheshbon that you have is, the food is going to impart taste into the pot. So you have a milky pot, and you put fleshics inside it, and you cooked it. So now you have a pot that has taste of milky inside. But the same pot also has taste of fleshics inside. And therefore your pot is bona fide treif. You're going to have to kasher the pot. Okay? So that's what happens if you messed up with the pots. If you put one pot on the wrong thing, that's what the halacha is. Now we move on to the next thing, which is Einar ben Yoima. And here we have to understand another thing. And that is, we said before, the entire point of this is to impart taste. But what happens if the taste that you have is pogum? There's something wrong with the taste. It's missing, it's lacking, it's not right. So we say, if the taste is off, so that's noisen tam livgam, it's called, it gives taste. But not to improve the taste, but rather to bring down the taste. And noisen tam livgam is going to be mutter. So let's now take the same case that we spoke about before. You had your milchik pan that you bought in Argos, you toivled and you made yourself a wonderful hot chocolate, you heated up the milk in it, stirring it, finished, very good. You clean it up, you put it down. 2 days later, your child didn't realize that you had already used that brand new pot for milk, puts in the chicken soup, and boils up the chicken soup in there. Now we need to look at it again. Because the taste of the milk that's inside the pot is not ben yoima anymore. It's not considered a taste that happened in the last 24 hours. And therefore we consider it pogum. We consider the taste to have been ruined. And therefore we now have the following instance. You're cooking your chicken soup in the milky pot. The milky taste that is being imparted by the pot into the chicken soup is pogum. And therefore, your chicken soup will be mutter. Okay? What about your pot? So with the pot, we can discuss now. I'll tell you what the halach lemais is, but you can discuss. You can say, wait a second. You have a pot now that has milky taste, that has meat taste in it, so that would make your pot treif. On the other hand, you could also say, no. I have a pot that had milky taste in it. 24 hours, 48 hours ago, whatever it is. But now the taste inside that pot is pogum. So it's irrelevant. So now as far as the pot is considered, you can't call it, you won't call it fleshik, you won't call it milchik, we'll call it pogum. Now you cooked fleshik's in it. What would happen to the pot at the moment? Pardon? Right now, more than 24 hours after you cook the milchiks. You cook the veggies more than 24 hours after you cook the milchiks. So now, what taste is there? What active good taste is in the pot right now? Fleishiks. Milchiks? No. So really, you could be alright. You could say, now the pot is fleishiks. Okay? And I'll take it one step further. What happens if you made 5 batches of soup? Yeah? What would happen to each batch of soup? Nothing. But what would happen if after I made a batch of soup, I made some more milk in that? What would now happen? You'd end up trafing the milk, and now you'd really trafe the pot. But all the soup, actually at the moment, the pot is fleshiks. But la halacha, we don't allow for that to happen. Because imagine if I said to you, every time you didn't use a pot for 24 hours, you could use it for the other one. Can you imagine what a balagan would be in your kitchen? Can you imagine what your kitchen would look like? It would be like a dira. Remember there was when we were in yeshiva, there's a choshev rab, a rab Yitzchak Elbaz, a Avi Elbaz from Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote a sefer, or a book, call it as you wish, but it was a sefer, called Dira Days. And Dira Days was about Vasa Macholov in mere dira kitchens. And there were all sorts of ridiculous shailas that you... I used my iron to heat up a schnitzel, and now my roommate used that same iron to heat up a piece of pizza. What's the halacha of the iron? Yeah? So you're laughing, but you cannot imagine what happened in these diras. Pardon?
Makes your
shirts treif. Your shirts will be treif, yeah? You walk in there, yeah. You walk into the stipler, he'll yell at you about your shirts, his treif shirts. Yeah, but the guy came up with his, and all these ridiculous ideas. I took my glasses, and I always use this arm to stir for milchik for my tea. And now I want to stir with the other arm for fleishiks. Can I stir with one and the other? Or do we say it's one keli, you can stir with the two of them? You come with it, you know. You come with all sorts of ridiculous shailas, by the way. Yeah, you read it. It was a very humorous book. But at the same time, you know, he was a choshev paisik. He was a rav in Eretz Yisrael. I think he still is. He has a shul. And rav in Eretz Yisrael, choshev paisik, one of the big talmidim of Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz, and you know, like a talmud of Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz, and a talmud also of Moshe Hamishtam Zatzal. He was very, very, very choshev yid. So he had all these shailas. But here you have enay. So you have enay ben yoymoy. If you started off doing kashrus like that, what you'd end up having is just an absolute mess in the kitchen. And therefore we say, if you have a pot that you used for milchiks, even though it's after 24 hours, and you're right, hypothetically speaking, that pot's not milchik anymore. And if you made something fleishik in it, it will be 100% mutter. Lemaisa, lemaisa, what would we say? No. We don't use that pot. We have to cash in the pot. Alaf, that in strict halacha, it wouldn't be treif. Again, sometimes you have to understand what goes on behind the halacha in addition to the fact that strict halacha. You know, sometimes you ask a question, is it mutter, is it osur? Remember that this is the question. I'll give you an example of this question. This is a very true example. A person who unfortunately Nebuch doesn't keep Taras HaMishpacha, and he's together with his wife. What's the isser for a man who's together with a woman who is a nida? Karis. Okay. Now, let's say you have a man who says, what's the isser of a yid being together with a woman who's not Jewish? Let's see, a kidesha. Yeah, one of different, you know, he says, like, schatim bom, whatever, you come up with a love. So you have a guy that tells you a great cheshbon over here. I'm anyway not from, I'm anyway not going to keep ta'as ha-mishpacha. Say if I marry a Yiddish woman, every time I'm together with my wife, I'll be over karis. If I marry a shiksa, I'll only be over love. I should marry a non-Jewish woman. Yeah? I got to from a cheshbon. Yeah? Mamish lomdus. What would you say to a guy like that? A shugana. Ah, you'll say to me, in halacha, maybe he's right. Not everything works like this, that everything works, you know, exactly in halacha, that's how it is. You have to go beyond that also, the reasons and everything else. So that even though Einei ben Yoimei, you're right, you can have a part that's Einei ben Yoimei, and that part is going to be mutter if you did it with the other thing, lemaisa, you have to go ahead and you have to kasher it. Okay, now we move on to the next point. All these points are going to be important because we're working our way through it. The next point is something that's called Noisen Tam Ben Noisen Tam, or known in the raid, Nat Bar Nat. Okay? And Nat Bar Nat is as follows. So what we've explained at the moment is, if you take something fleshik and you cook it in a pot, the pot becomes fleshik. Then if you take something milchik and cook it in that same fleshik pot, what happens to the food? Treif. Okay? But now let's try and analyze differently. So I want to make pasta. And I'm cooking pasta in a meaty pot. And once I finish cooking that pasta, one of my kids says to me, actually I don't want to have fleshiks, I want to have milchiks. Can I skim some pasta off the pasta that you've made, top it with cheese, and eat it like that? This is a classic case of what's called noisen tam bar noisen tam. And what that means is as follows. You've now, let's try and analyze, as we said before. You now, let's take one step further back. We said that the whole vart of basa mecholov is the mixture of the two tastes, where you have one taste which is mutter, another taste which is mutter, but when you put the two tastes together, you get isser. But what if I didn't put the two tastes together? What if they stayed separate? So here the case is as follows. You cooked your pasta in this pot. This pot you used an hour ago for fleshiks, so we're saying it's ben yoimoy fleshiks. And you cooked your pot, you cooked your fleshiks in this pot. You pour it out, you clean it out, there's no fleshiks on the side anymore, because otherwise it's not only talking about tam, now we're talking about even mamoshes. See, if you took a dirty pot, and then if you had a pot that you cooked something fleshiks in, you didn't wash it out, you just poured in a bit of water and started cooking pasta, now you're already not only dealing with nice and tam, you're dealing with actually what's called mamoshes. You're dealing with real fleshiks because you didn't wash out your pot. But most people, if you cook, use it for something, you wash it out first and then use it for the next thing. You don't want to start mixing all the tastes together because you end up with some kind of mishmash. So you use it for fleshiks, you took it, you washed it off nicely, you now put on the water and you heat it up and you make your pasta. What's the taste that went into the pot? Meat. What's the taste that's now coming from the pot back out into the pasta? Meat. Now, meat in of itself, it's not an issue. We said before, this was of the frumus of the frumus of shritas. This was mehadrim in a mehadrim meat. No problem whatsoever. So where I cooked milk in it, so I said I have milk taste, that now has meat taste in it, so you have a problem, so you have treif. But where I cooked pasta, spaghetti, whatever it might be, in this pot, what do I have now in my spaghetti? A bit of meat taste. But now let's move on to what we said before, and that is we're talking about teis. So this is already, we're talking about hetera. This is an iser. You're not basa b'cholov over here. Sarako, you have a bit of taste of meat inside your pasta. But you add to the point over here that how much or how strong is the taste that you now have in your pasta? I'll ask you honestly, especially the pots that we have nowadays, stainless steel, which basically not by there anyway. If you cooked meat in that, and let's say you made something as meaty as it gets, you washed it out properly, good and proper, and 20 minutes later you cook pasta, could you taste even an iota of meat in that?
No.
Not at all. No. Nothing. You can't. So the taste that's inside it, yes, it exists in halacha, but halacha also recognizes that's a very weak taste. And you've done nothing wrong. It's not like I mixed meat and milk together. You have a weak taste of meat in this food, which is something to hetera anyway. So in that instance, this is where the discussion of not by not starts. You have nois and tam, the tam that was given from the meat into the pot, bar nois and tam that was now given back into your pasta. What's the halacha by not by not? And here we have a machlekes, Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. Shulchan Aruch is of the opinion, not by not, nois and tam by nois and tam, mutter lechatchila. And therefore, according to Shulchan Aruch, if you made the pasta in this pot, and then you decide, you know what, instead of having meatballs, we all fancy having pasta and cheese, you can move it over into a parva pot or into plastic or whatever you wanted to, put cheese all over it, mix it together, according to Shulchan Aruch, no problem. The taste of meat that's inside that pasta is weak. It never became properly fleshed. You're allowed to mix it together with milk.
On a milky plate?
On a milky plate as well, yeah. Yeah, you're putting cheese on it anyway, yeah. Whereas the Ramah will say, no. The Ramah is of the opinion that you're only allowed to do this b'dievet. You can't do the chatchila. That means, if you came and you called me up and you said, Rabbi Eisenberg, I want to know, we made pasta in a fleshic pot and now we decide we want to have a milchik instead, can we put cheese on it? What would my response have to be? Sorry, no. But if you call me afterwards and says, you know what, we had fleshic pasta that we had made on this fleshic pot, and it turns out that we decide not to have fleshic and milchik, and one of my kids already mixed the cheese and the mixture in it already, can I eat it? What's the answer? Yes. Okay? That's where it's also lechatchila and mutter b'dievet. That's where the Ramah holds, where the Shulchan Aruch holds, it's mutter lechatchila. We have to add in the Einam and Yomim to that as well, but we've run out of time, so Mitzvah Shem, Rabbi Nachum Lov, we're going to have to, as I said, we're not even going to get to the Shai, we're going to have a part two. Meantime, Mr. Mankov, are you saying Kaddish? Okay, so we're going to say Rabbi Chanan ben Akash, Rabbi Chanan ben Akash, Rabbi Chanan ben Lefichach, here will I enjoy Mitzvah Shanema, Adinoi, Chofetz, Eman, Sidko, Yagdil, Tayo, V'yadir. Amen. 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 Amen.